It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It's June 27th. May God be with you today and bless you and cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. At this time, my wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now, as we begin this morning's broadcast, we pray for your spirit to come and abide with our hearts. Feed us the special food, that special manna from heaven, by anointing us with your spirit and, of course, granting the words to be anointed for our pastor. As he teaches us this morning, may you use him in a mighty way. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
Master's coming. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
brothers and sisters, we are having a baptismal class, I don't know how long it's going to last. We just let the Lord lead. We're going through key points of the Bible. Obviously, we're not going to read every chapter of the Bible, but brothers and sisters, the Lord has the gospel even in the book of Genesis, and we are learning how to be a Christian. You know, we can be in the church for a long time and not really learn how to be a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love you have for us. We ask that you would bless us as we study the word. We pray that you will give us an inspiration today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our study today is Everybody Has a Test. Everybody has a test. We read Genesis 21 yesterday. We're in Genesis 22. Everybody has a test. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. So it says God tempted Abraham. You see, a lot of people, brothers and sisters, a lot of people have rejected the scriptures because they find what appear to be discrepancies. So they're apparent discrepancies. And this is one. For if you turn in your Bible to James chapter 1 and verse 13, now we just read it says, God says, well, the Bible says God tempted Abraham. The Bible says in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So should we give up the Bible because it says God tempted Abraham and then the Bible later says God doesn't tempt any man? No, my friends. The bottom line is this is a wonderful lesson. We don't have time to go into it. We will go through it as we study the Bible, but I'll give you a sneak preview. We teach a little lesson on how to study the Bible. And when you study the Bible, when the Bible says in Isaiah 28, verse 10, it says precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. That means you got a teaching, you could put another teaching on top of that, you could put another teaching on top of that, and you could put another teaching on top of that. What God is teaching us is that from Genesis to Revelation, he is consistent. Consistency is a powerful concept, brothers and sisters. It's a powerful principle. That's why I strive to live my life the way Jesus did, because when you live your life the way Jesus did, you'll be consistent. You know, it's a sad reality. There's I'll tell you what, it's heartfelt. My wife and I were listening to it last night. I'm not going to mention the name, but a very prominent preacher passed away. He was prominent at one time. And then there was a lot of things negatively said. I can't, you know, that's not my position. I'm not any man's judge. But a lot of things were said that happened. And his son put out something on Facebook. And he basically spoke about why he's not crying and grieving and those kind of things. And I'll tell you what. That one message that I heard from his son meant more to me than all the sermons I ever heard that preacher preach. It was humble. It was heartfelt. He told the truth. It wasn't passionate. There was no anger. He told the truth about what happened to him and what happened to the family and how the father had done some things that a lot of people may not have known about. And so the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we have to understand that people are going through things, okay? But God does not, what we have to understand is God does not tempt with evil. See, the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So that means he's not tempting any man with evil. So when we get to precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, we were talking about consistency. And if you're going to preach, your life has to be consistent with what you preach. That's the point. That's bringing it all together. Your life has to be consistent with what you preach, okay? And that's why we have to practice what we preach. People who say, that's why the Bible is full of messages that say your life has to line up with what you teach. Let me give you one. If you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that what it says? I believe that's John 15:10. If you love me, we're supposed to love God, but how do you show consistently that you love God? Got to keep his commandments, brothers and sisters. And God's commandments, the main constitutional commandments, are the 10. But guess what? Some of you already keep the Sabbath, you think, but if you're only righteous on the Sabbath and Sunday through Friday, you're cursing, you're swearing, you're yelling at your family members, you're mistreating people, you've already broken the Sabbath, brothers and sisters. The Sabbath is a reminder that God is the creator. That means he's creating in you a clean heart. So that should show up on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Sabbath as well, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about a consistent life here. So this verse is not a verse that is, there's a discrepancy. God does not tempt with evil, okay? But everybody has a test. Now, we're tested all the time because we're tempted all the time, brothers and sisters. If you look at that word where it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, you will look that up and you will see in the original that means he tested Abraham. And you see, we think of the devil as the only one that tempts. He is the only one that tempts to evil. But God does send us tests. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I believe, this is my personal belief, we all have a big one. We have many throughout our lives, but we all had a big one. The reason why we took time to go through, you said, what, baptismal class? Why do we have to read about Abraham in Egypt? Because Abraham failed the test in Egypt. He lied and said that Sarah was his sister. Then why do we have to read the story about Abraham in, I forgot what it was, but it was before the king Abimelech. Why did we have to read that in a baptismal class? Because Abraham lied about his wife in that class. You see, God was working with Abraham. He's so merciful, brothers and sisters. He won't allow it to be said that he could have done more to save us. So if we are finally lost, it will be because we just would not say yes to the Lord. And we just kept saying no to the Lord, my friend. So God showed us that Abraham had a challenge. He had a challenge being thoroughly faithful. He would get afraid of what would happen to him in certain circumstances. And so he wouldn't give his heart fully to God. He was following God, but he had his moments where he lost faith and he lied, okay? He lied, and Abraham was a prophet. That's why a few days ago we had the prophet who lied twice. The Bible calls him a prophet. We read it. We read it to you, friends. God told Abimelech that he is a prophet, and you've got his wife, okay? And so the bottom line is that, and some people would say, well, if he's a prophet, how could that be? Because the Bible says if a prophet says something that's not of God, he's a false prophet. Well, that's when he's speaking for God. Abraham wasn't speaking for God. He wasn't telling anybody, thus saith the Lord, this is my sister. He just said, this is my sister. He had his own frailties, and all the prophets did, for all have sinned. It was when they spoke in the name of the Lord that if they said in the name of the Lord, God has told me this, 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 and this, and I'm a prophet, if it didn't come true, they were a false prophet, friends. So, you know, the Bible's all interwoven with all these themes. But I just want to say, everybody has a big test. Abraham failed with Abimelech. Abraham failed with Pharaoh. So God says, I've got to test him. Now, let me explain something. Because you say, well, why would God have to test us? Doesn't he know the end from the beginning? Yes, he does. But you must understand another principle, brothers and sisters. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. This is once your test might not even be for you. Your test, it's for you, but it's also for somebody else. 1 Corinthians chapter, help me, Jesus, chapter 10, I believe. And let's look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, brothers and sisters, God allowed things to happen to the people in the Bible for our admonition. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so while it was a help to that individual who went through the test and passed, it is also because others will be blessed by your passing of the test. Okay? When you pass the test, others are blessed. It's a good little poem. Pass the test, others are blessed. And so we murmur and complain because a big test awaits us, because we're going through a test. And brothers and sisters, remember, and by the way, let me give you another scripture here. If you also turn to Romans 15:4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You hear that, brothers and sisters? So God is telling us, again, Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:11, the things that were written before, the things that happened, they're for our learning. They are written for our admonition, okay? So the test is for the one who is going through the test, but it is also for others. Now, that's my answer if you were to ask the question, well, why would God need to test? And he would already know ahead of time whether he would pass or fail, because he knows everything. Yes, he does, but the angels don't. The unfallen worlds don't, and they're watching us. And they get disappointed when we fall because they don't understand, how could they fall with all that love of Jesus and what all that Jesus did? How could they mess up? They don't understand. But, oh, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, moreover than 99 just persons that need no repentance. That shows they're watching us, brothers and sisters. I don't get disappointed because there might be 10, maybe 12 people on the broadcast and maybe more on Facebook, because I've got the whole universe watching this broadcast, and I've got to be faithful, and I've got to deliver the word of God to you faithfully, brothers and sisters, in this broadcast, because I've got the whole universe watching this broadcast at 6 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time. And the whole universe is watching your reaction to the word of God, my brothers and sisters. This is deep. This is real. It's a court case. And it's a court case with more people, beings, watching than you could ever imagine. They're not all people. Many of them are angels, friends. And there's God the Father. He's not a person. God the Son is, and that's the beautiful thing about the plan of redemption. So we haven't even gotten past verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22, but I'm here to tell you, friends, you have a test, and you will have several tests, but you've got one big one. Now, I can tell you, I've already gone through my big one. Now, let me say it this way. Let me repeat. There is another test coming to the world, okay? And if you're not passing the little test now, you're not going to pass that one. But what I'm going to tell you is, I believe even prior to that one, this is my opinion. If I give you my opinion, I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. My opinion from what I have seen in life and my own experience and what I see in the Bible, people had a big test. In other words, God was trying to tell Joseph, hey, don't accept your father spoiling you, and don't get the big head because you got a coat of many colors. Joseph didn't listen, and he was happy to tell, guess what? I had a dream, and y'all bowed down to me, and I had another dream, and y'all bowed down to me. He was all happy about those dreams, brothers and sisters. He was a little cocky, and he didn't listen to the Holy Ghost, okay? But when he didn't pass those tests, he had another one, and that was he was accused of rape.
He was innocent. He had to go to jail. And watch this, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that when the butler and the baker came in, and we don't even know how long he was in jail before the butler and the baker came in. But when the butler and the baker came in, and the butler was told that in the interpretation of the dream that he would go back before Pharaoh, and the baker was told, I'm sorry, he's gonna kill you. It was 2 years before the butler made good on his word. He forgot all about Joseph. And so God allowed Pharaoh to have some dreams. But here's my point, brothers and sisters. I want to take us, before we read, Abraham's big test, okay? Because this is Abraham's biggest test. But he passed, okay? I want us to read 1 Corinthians. I believe this is also, is this 10:13? Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He will not even allow the temptation to come. You see, when you give your heart to God, he previews everything. Even when you're messing up now, he still previews it. Abraham was messing up. If God was like us, this guy can't even tell the truth about who his wife is. Surely he can't be the father of many nations. We would have cut Abraham off so fast. Then he lied again. I mean, come on, man. I gave you one chance. You did it again? But see, that's why I'm so happy. The Bible says through the servant Samuel, God said to the servant, his servant Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God knew what kind of man Abraham would be when he made that full surrender, and he had to allow him to go through some tests for Abraham's sake and for our sake, brothers and sisters. But you need to understand, when you give your heart to God, God previews everything that would come your way. And he only allows the things to come your way that would make you stronger as you endure, that would be a blessing to his cause. And Joseph, when he passed the big test, no, he didn't pass the little test. He was a little cocky, and he liked to be telling his brothers those things. He felt real good about a coat of many colors and stuck his chest all out. But brothers and sisters, when he learned through the lessons of affliction, Joseph is an example of faithfulness when there are what we call great changes of fortune. Now, great changes of fortune, sometimes the fortune goes away from you. It goes down. Something happens and you lose all your money. Something happens and you lose your house. Something happens and you lose your family. Okay? But sometimes the great change of fortune is you end up getting truly blessed. But you see, God previews that. Remember, we read at the end of every broadcast, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. There are blessings in store for us on this side of glory, friend, not just in heaven, because it says you get all this on this side, then you get eternal life. Now, it didn't say you're going to have the deed to all the houses. Okay, it says you have house. Maybe sometimes that means you'll always have a place to stay. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you right now, I know that if I came down to Alabama in a crisis and a storm was out there, I know there's a place I could stay in Alabama. It might be on the floor or on the couch, but I won't be out in the storm if I just get caught down there in a crisis. I know there's a place in South Carolina and North Carolina and Kenya that if I just got caught up in a crisis and needed a place to lay my head, I know I would be welcome. I know I could be well aware in Delaware, and there are places where I can go. And you all know, if you just happen to get caught and you're anywhere near, you're not going to be stranded, okay? You're going to be helped. Okay, we're not all in one place, but isn't that houses Because if I didn't have a place to stay, I'd have to get a hotel. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a hotel. And sometimes when I'm traveling, I stay in hotels because I preach, and I might have a big mouth and wake up the whole house at 6 o'clock in the morning. So when I travel to some places, just because of the broadcast, I stay in a hotel. But the point I'm making is they're not your blood. When I say your blood, they're not your, as we would think about biological mothers and fathers and children, but they're your family, brothers and sisters. We have more family. God will give us 100-fold more family members than we presently have. And sometimes your own family will turn against you when you follow Christ, friends. So Jesus was saying, if you give up all to follow me, you're going to get 100-fold in this life. That's a great change of fortune. Some people can't handle that, so they can't get all the houses and the land. Some people can't handle money. They're not faithful in that which is least, so God can't give them much. So, friends, if you want more, then be faithful in what you have, okay? Be faithful in what you have. We're talking about principles that God deals with us as we deal with a test. Everybody has a big test. I can tell you, I've gone through my big test until the mark of the beast test. That's going to be the biggest test for everybody. But I've gone through my big test. And it was the worst experience I have ever had in my entire life, and it lasted about 3 years. Worst experience I ever had in my entire life. And you know, and I will tell you, brothers and sisters, sometimes I will say this about these tests, just from history and biblical history, a lot of times. The big test comes because, like with Abraham, we hadn't passed the small ones. And sometimes your big test will come because you haven't passed the small ones, but now you have given your heart totally to God, and then God allows a big old test to come. That's what happened to me. I'm not going to give you any details right now, but I'm going to tell you it was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. But I'm going to tell you this. Everything I lost, I've already gained back 100-fold. Everything I lost. Don't want to give you any details, brothers and sisters, but I'm here to tell you, I look back on that, and at that time, I was just in the dungeon of despair at many times in my life during that 3-year period. I can tell you when it was, 2016 to 2019, dungeon of despair. I can tell you there were people that hated me. I can tell you that there were people that thought I was the worst person that ever came upon the face of the earth. There were people that thought I was a con man, and it was all lies, brothers and sisters. Now, did I do everything right? No, but I can tell you one thing. I know what to do when I don't do something right, and everything that I didn't do what they accused me of doing, but at the same time, everything that I mishandled or whatever I did, I went back and I made it right with God and with anybody. Brothers and sisters, that's what repentance is. Okay, I made it right with the people, and I endured. But I'm here to tell you, looking back on it now, I'd go through the whole thing over again because I see the blessing that God has done, what it did in my character, what it did for others, and it also helped weed out people in my life that didn't need to be there anyhow. See, a lot of people are pretenders. They pretend to be your family, your friends, your whatever. But when the crisis comes, when your big test comes, that shows where they are, brothers and sisters. And so God allows these big tests to come, and I'm just wanting to introduce that because Abraham had his, but he passed it with flying colors. He did not even hesitate when it came, and that's what God did for me, brothers and sisters. I had not passed every test in the past, but God had laid upon me that big test, the biggest test I will have to endure by the grace of God until the Sunday law test comes. And God blessed me to be faithful. And I'm telling you, he will reward you. So don't worry about what it is. Sometimes it might seem real bad, but God is with you. He's already previewed it. He's already decided that you can handle it, that it will make you stronger. Now, let me tell you this real quickly before we move on and read his story. Every test that you pass makes the next passing easier. Every test you fail makes the next failure easier. That's why the devil wants to get you on a snowball. He wants you to, you know what, if you were in my house, My wife will testify to this. If there's anything, because we sometimes have to just find, keep in touch with what's going on in the world or whatever. But whenever I see principles that are violated, whether I see some stuff they're promoting on the news or whatever, I just always say, dead flies. Why do I say dead flies? Well, because there's a scripture in the Bible that I always keep in mind, okay? I'm going to read it to you. And this scripture just reminds me not to violate principles even in the slightest. Notice what it says. This is Ecclesiastes 10:1. It says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And brothers and sisters, I've done some little folly in my life, and I've seen how it messes up a person's life. Okay? So whenever there's even the suggestion, not that it's always a temptation to me, but I just always, because see, the devil will just put stuff in your mind and just make you comfortable with sin. You know, they want us to be comfortable with Adam and Steve. I don't want to get comfortable with Adam and Steve. And so, because it's Adam and Eve. And so when they just kind of promote it or just act like it's just nonchalant and they'll call a him or her, I say dead fly. Because I don't even want my mind to begin to accept, even when the newscaster says he, but it's really she was born a she, I say dead fly. Because it reminds me, just a little folly. You just allow a little bit of the wrong concept to get comfortable in your mind, and the devil can blow that up, and it can be a problem. I don't want to get comfortable with wrong concepts. Now, brothers and sisters, the same thing happens with fornication, with heterosexual fornication. Dead flies. All it takes is a little folly, and one little dead fly can cause the whole bottle of ointment to stink. Just so, therefore, a little folly. Him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And so, friends, God tries to save us, and he gives us these tests because he wants us to understand the dead flies principle. Dead flies, brothers and sisters. That's a sermon in and of itself. So we're going to read through Abraham's test. I think I've given you all the principles, and you're going to see that Abraham passed with flying colors, but it was a tough one. It was actually easier for him to say, Sarah is my wife than to pass this test. But because he had surrendered his heart to the Lord, God was able to reveal to the world that Abraham was faithful. Let's read on. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. You see, God rubbed it in. He said, your son, your only son, Isaac, like he didn't know who his son was, whom thou lovest, like God didn't know he loved him. You see, God put it to him. He's rubbing that test in because he's helping us understand Abraham passed, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He didn't complain, didn't question why, didn't question where. He just went. He had passed. He was in the process of passing the biggest test of his life. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. And Abraham rose in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him. Yes, I did. I read it. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took of the fire of his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but there is the lamb for a burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Abraham was such a consistent father. Isaac, by this time, would have been stronger than his father. That's why he had to carry the wood. He could have fought his father. He laid down and let his father kill him, and he resisted not. That's because he had learned of the true God of love from his father, and his father knew because he had promised that through Isaac, all the world would be blessed. So Abraham went in faith that somehow God was going to raise up Isaac from the dead, and Isaac understood somehow after this test is over, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And they went and passed this test together, brothers and sisters. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. You ask some of the young people, they won't even stay home at night. But a lot of that is because the parents have not been consistent, brothers and sisters, and they don't have respect for their parents. Let's read on. And they came to the place which God told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou would not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me. You see, that's why the Bible says God. So there's many scriptures in the Bible that taught the Old Testament people about a God who would so love the world that he would give his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him did not perish but have everlasting life. Can you understand now why Abraham is mentioned as the one who believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness? And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God allowed that ram to be caught in those thickets. So you see, God has a ram in the thicket to get you out of the harm's way. Just pass the test, brothers and sisters. Just be faithful. And the angel of the Lord, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and the stars as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. He simply reiterated the powerful promise that Abraham started off with in his journey. Friends, we've got to pass the test, and you will have a big one. Some of you have had it already. Some of you have not had it. Sometimes your big test is a disease that you don't even want to say. It's so scary. You know, it's so amazing that the way our minds work, I'm not going to say cancer. I'm just going to say seed, like that's going to change something. Can we say amen? Now tell the truth, shame the devil, like not saying the word. You see, we've learned all this stuff in churches, brothers and sisters. Don't say it, because if you say it, you're naming it and you're claiming it. Show me that in the Bible. Show me in the Bible that if I say I have cancer that God can't cure it. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, let me tell you what it is in the Bible. In the Bible, they would say, they named every disease that people had because that made God get all the more glory. They gave how long the man was living without walking, born that way from his birth. That way, when God caused him to rise up and walk through him or his disciple, people understood the power of God. Stop being scared to say what disease you think you might have. You're robbing God of glory, my friend. Okay, see, yeah, God delivered me from something I never had. So what is that? How did God just get glory when you said, well, they say I have this, but I ain't claiming it. But watch this, show you how inconsistent you are. God, they say I have this, but I ain't claiming it. Then when you get something that says you're cancer-free, God delivered me from cancer. Well, you said you didn't have it. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just here to tell you that some of the things we have, we pick up from churches. The name it, claim it movement is not in the Bible. The Bible does say rejoice in the Lord always. He says claim promises. But, God, you claim promises of deliverance. So it doesn't say claim promises that you never had, something you never had. Okay? Let's read on. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother. Oh, that's interesting, Huz and Buz. You talk about some names. And Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chezed, and Hazel, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Rumah. She bare Teba, and Gahum, and Sahash, and Makkah. All right, brothers and sisters, that's the chapter. And we read Abraham's test. We saw how he passed. We're going to go ahead and pray and just ask that you pass. Now, we're going to hear from our dear sister Donna. She has a health message. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. But Sister Donna, when it comes, don't worry about it. If you need to go past the top of the hour, just read what God has given. She's got a health message for us today. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us now in the name of Jesus. Help us to pass our big test, the little one and the big one, because you're preparing us for a final test where your people will receive the seal of God and not the mark of the beast. Thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is wonderful. He is good. Let's take a little break with the torso song. We'll come back and hear a wonderful health message from Sister Donna today, and we look forward to that. All right, our song of transition to the wellness segment is the torso song. Enjoy.
In the state of Pennsylvania, there's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, might sleep feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to North of, the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. We'll now hear from Sister Donna on the subject, the power of appetite. Sister Donna.
Good morning, everyone. This reading is coming from Counsels on Health, pages 122 and 123. The power of appetite. One of the strongest temptations that man has to meet is upon the point of appetite. Between the mind and the body, there is a mysterious and wonderful relation. They react upon each other to keep the body in a healthy condition to develop its strength that every part of the living machinery may act harmoniously should be the first study of our life. To neglect the body is to neglect the mind. It cannot be to the glory of God for his children to have sickly bodies or dwarfed minds. To indulge the taste at the expense of health is a wicked abuse of the senses. Those who engage in any species of intemperance, either in eating or drinking, waste their physical energies and weaken moral power. They will feel the retribution which follows the transgression of physical law. The Redeemer of the world knew that the indulgence of appetite would bring physical debility and so deaden the perceptive organs that sacred and eternal things would not be discerned. Christ knew that the world was given up to gluttony and that this indulgence would provoke the moral power. If the indulgence of appetite was so strong upon the race that in order to break its power, the divine Son of God in behalf of man was required to fast nearly 6 weeks, what a work is before the Christian in order that he may overcome, even as Christ overcame. The strength of the temptation to indulge perverted appetite can be measured only by the inexpressible anguish of Christ in that long fast in the wilderness. Christ knew that in order to successfully carry forward the plan of salvation, he must commence the work of redeeming man just where the ruin began. Adam fell by the indulgence of appetite. In order to impress upon man his obligations to obey the law of God, Christ began his work of redemption by reforming the physical habits of man. The declension in virtue and the degeneracy of the race are chiefly attributable to the indulgence of perverted appetite. Intemperance in eating even a food of the right quality will have a prostrating influence upon the system and will blunt the keener and holier emotions. Strict temperance in eating and drinking is highly essential for the healthy preservation and vigorous exercise of all the functions of the body. Strictly temperate habits, combined with exercise of the muscles as well as of the mind, will preserve both mental and physical vigor and give power of endurance to those engaged in the ministry, to editors, and to all others whose habits are sedentary. Thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed day with and in the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. All right, we're doing roll call at this time. We still have about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. We've got North Carolina on the line. We have Georgia on the line. This is Facebook, that is. We have North Carolina, Georgia. We have Virginia. We have the country of Kenya. We have a dear Dolores. Not sure where that individual is from. God bless you. Thank you. And on the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware. Delaware is truly well aware this morning. And we have Ohio again, we have Iowa, and we have Georgia. So on Facebook, press *6 if you'd like to share anything, ask any question, give a testimony or anything you'd like to share. We already have one caller on the line. If anyone else, just press *6. We have Sister Vicki on Facebook. Good morning to everyone, and good morning to everyone from Brother Peyton. Good morning from Brother Brian in Kenya, and an amen, preach, from Sister Vicki, amen, and from Salita, good morning all. And we're going to hear from Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria. I wanted to get first, again, it was the power of appetite.
Yes, it was the power. Yes, the power of appetite.
And can I'm sorry, I missed what you said, the book, where I could get that, where I could read that again.
That's fine. It comes out of the book titled Counsels on Health, and it is pages 122 and 123. It actually falls under two headings, the power of appetite and a solemn responsibility. It's at the bottom of page 123.
Sister Donna, thank you so much for reading that. That was a blessing to my soul. It really was.
Awesome. Amen.
Struggle with appetite. Struggle no more. I like that. Thank you so much. And Pastor, I want to say also thank you for Ecclesiastes 10:1. Never heard of that before, but I'll be going back to read that. I wanted to share, if I could, and hope it's all right. You know, I've had a struggle with my emotions, with highs and lows, and diagnosed with bipolar depression. And there's different forms of it. And when I realized what I was going through, and I was in tears and crying to the pastor, when I thought, because I didn't know what was going on with me. So anyway, long story short, someone at church had told me about flaxseed and how good that was, and sure enough, very good. And I wanted to eventually get off the medication, of course, under my provider's care. And so I had been doing the flaxseed, you know, and, you know, as soon as something worked, you want to be like, oh, I don't need it no more. Oops. And I still needed it, right? So in the effort, still trying to wean myself, I wanted to get off the medicine, but I knew that I had to do three things. I knew I had to get my appetite, I had to exercise, and wean myself off the medicine, but I had to do all three. It had to be all together. And so I've been working at that. So anyway, I ordered from Pastor from Torso Ministries, and it was such a beautiful package that y'all send the things in. And I want you to know, I did not even notice. First I started off with happiness, and I wasn't sure if it was working, and but I kept taking it nonetheless, believing it was working. But then I found that I needed some more, you know, to take it in the morning and or twice a day, BID. I needed to take it twice a day. Went on to, I let Pastor Fleming know, I said, it wasn't strong or whatever, and I let him know what I was dealing with, and he recommended some more. Let me tell you, Pastor Fleming, this is just a few weeks ago, in the recent weeks, I mean, last week, in the recent days, that I just realized, wait a minute, I'm not running for the flaxseed. Wait a minute, this is working. Because I was taking all three things that I ordered, the tinctures, in the morning, and then I was taking them. Then the Spirit impressed me, Desiree, take it also in the evening, you know, BID. I can't tell you when it happened, how it happened. All I know, I ain't running for the flaxseed, but those tensions work. That's all I can tell you without altering my personality. And I'm not saying that I still don't, but I have to do the exercise. And I know I got to, oh, Lord, help me overcome that strong urge with the appetite, especially when you don't have food that you should have, you know. And I just said I got to give that testimony, and I ordered from Torso Ministry, the 7-day cleanse. And y'all, when I tell you that it came, I felt so loved. That thing was so beautifully packaged. I just took my time and unwrapped it. So when they send you stuff, they don't wait. They send it to you. You get it timely. Not only that, it's beautifully wrapped. I was like, oh, they sent me this. What? I know this, but it was so beautifully wrapped. I had to take my time and unwrap it. So I just want to say thank you for timely sending me things, and also the way the 7-day fast was so packaged really nicely, and I appreciate that. And I just wanted to say that those tinctures, they were working. So now I know I have to continue to be consistently you know, to be consistent but not consistently inconsistent with that. So I just wanted to share that with you and give that testimony. I didn't want to withhold that because when I recognized it was, I didn't even recognize it was working. I didn't. I didn't recognize anything. But along with my exercise with taking that and but I knew the exercise, I have to continue to do exercise and that and continue to do those things so that I can gradually, you know, overcome. So,
amen.
Yeah, so just wanted to share that. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, no problem. What a testimony. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we appreciate the testimony, and you just keep growing and in Jesus and getting stronger and follow the laws of health. You're getting the exercise down. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water, having your devotion, getting to bed on time. You know, all of them work together, and you're going to continue to thrive and heal, and you'll be where you want to be very soon, sister, by the grace of God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time to close out. I'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our closing prayer at this time.
Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to have had worship and fellowship. And now we pray that your spirit will continue to guide us throughout this day. We ask that you will bless every heart in a special way by giving us spiritual, mental, and physical healing. And we pray, Lord, that we will all be faithful to you. We ask that for each one that's going through trials and tribulations, for you to give us your extra everlasting strength, Lord. Help us to be sustained. Help us to seek you for wisdom and direction. As a matter of fact, Lord, we need to be helped in even passing these on to you, the burdens that we carry, so that you can work every detail out in accordance with your perfect will. We pray that we will wait until you have done just that. May we have patience, and may we trust and believe in an almighty God who is powerful, who is able to move us, who is able to do for us, who is able to provide for us. Lord, only you know the beginning to the end of all things, but we seek you in all matters of our lives. Help us, Lord, to keep our faith, and help us to know that when we ask in the precious name of Jesus, and it will be done. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust you.